Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Babylon Bee is a brilliant source of satire. They've just published 9 signs your newborn baby might be trans. Listen to this. Well, the day has finally arrived. Your cute little parasitical clump of cells has popped out of one of the birthing persons in your relationship, and it's now suddenly a real human being. But what gender is it? It's hard to say. It could even be, fingers crossed, trans. How do you tell if your adorable little genderless bundle of joy might be trans, catapulting you to a new level of fame and attention among your friend group? Here are 9 signs to look out for. First, crying. Biologists believe if babies cry, it might be because they are really trying to scream, I'm the wrong gender. Transition me now. Listen to the science. Second, spitting up. This is a sign of your baby rejecting and literally barfing out their biological sex. Third, pooping. This is a sign of your baby rejecting and literally pooping out their biological sex. Fourth, does not put up any kind of logical argument when you point out all the reasons they should be trans. Their silence is consent to immediately change your gender. They'd speak up if they objected. Fifth, soothed by Dylan Mulvaney videos. Your trans baby is being comforted by trans joy. Sixth, screams at Jordan Peterson videos. Your baby is being triggered by facts and logic, the two mortal enemies of transgenderism. Seventh, drinks milk. Try to stay with us here. There are 4 letters in milk, and milk is white. There are also 4 letters in trans. And white is one of the colors in the trans flag. better put baby in his car seat for a trip to the gender clinic. 8, does not sleep well. How could a baby sleep knowing they're in the wrong body? 9, you really, really want them to be trans. And finally, this is the most important sign of all. Any baby can be trans if you, the parent, really want them to be. There you have it. What are some other signs your baby could be trans? Let us know in the comments. The Babylon Bee. 9 signs your newborn baby might be trans. Yeah. 4 letters in trans. Brilliant. Well, the U.S. has finally done it. With all its NATO efforts, it's now brought Russia and China into a merge, making them, without any doubt, the most powerful economic, political force in the world today, and indeed a military powerhouse with which the West and NATO cannot compete. Not possible. Listen to this. China announces naval drills with Russia and Iran. Now, I find this extremely interesting. In 2008, I was flown to Buenos Aires to give lectures on JFK and 9/11. And believe it or not, Argentines actually have respect for intellectuals, unlike here in the United States. And they published articles with photographs about my lectures on the front pages of several newspapers in Argentina. Well, on one of my visits, I was at a mosque, and I asked to speak to the imam in private. And what I said to him, and remember this back in 2008, where the U.S. and Israel were making all these warlike gestures toward Iran, I said, listen, I think it's very important for Iran to develop a mutual defense pact with Russia and China, a mutual defense pact with Russia and China. Well, it was back in 2008. That's a few years ago. Well, circumstances seem to have evolved where we have reached that point. So get this. China announces naval drills with Russia and Iran. The security bond 2023 exercises in the Gulf of Oman seek to inject positive energy into the region, Beijing said. So the United States had brought about the formation of the greatest economic bloc we could ever have to compete with, because now Russia, instead of providing its natural resources to Europe, especially to Germany, which was going to create an economic industrial powerhouse on the continent, but where the U.S. feared it would be left on the outside looking in, by sabotaging the Nord Stream pipeline, by all the sanctions on Russia, we have not only benefited Russia, but harmed our allies massively, massively. I mean, the ramifications of this transformation are going to endure for the next 100 years. You may recall the Project for a New American Century, which was a group of neocons, wanted to contrive a rationale for the U.S. to enter the Middle East and to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran, fabricating 9/11 as a mechanism to convince the American people this ought to be done under the leadership of W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Michael Rupert published a book entitled Crossing the Rubicon, based on publicly available sources, reestablished, to my mind, beyond any doubt, that Dick Cheney was actually the executive director on 9/11 from a bunker beneath a White House. So that was one form of manipulation. 9/11 was very successful up to Syria, where Russia and Iran intervened on behalf of the democratically elected president. And mind you, you'll still read in the American press and the mainstream media that Bashar al-Assad is a dictator, when Bashar al-Assad is a democratically elected president of Syria, enjoys the support of 80-85% of the Syrian people. He's as popular in Syria as Donald Trump is here in the United States. So what we have done by imposing these sanctions, by destroying the Nord Stream pipeline, by violating the Minsk agreement, is to make it utterly impossible for Russia to have any confidence in the West. They can no longer trust a word we say, a treaty we sign, an agreement we reach. The word of the United States is provably worthless. And because we attacked Nord Stream, because of the war in Ukraine, we have forced Russia to look elsewhere, and it was easy. China, arguably the greatest industrial nation in the world, probably really without any close competition, because remember, thanks to Bill Clinton NAFTA, we just outsourced all those jobs. Remember Ross Perot telling us that giant sucking sound was all those jobs moving south? Bill Clinton was instrumental in gutting the industrial and manufacturing base of the United States. Bill Clinton. So now Russia is aligned with China. Russia is going to take its vast natural resources, and Russia is an enormous country. It spans 9 time zones. 9 time zones. The United States, 3. Russia, 9. And the natural resources of Russia are vast. And who now is going to be the beneficiary of those natural resources? Not Europe, and most certainly not the United States. China, and no doubt Iran. We have created a behemoth. We have created a new center for the world's economy. The dollar is falling. The ruble is rising. The petrodollar is all but a distant relic of the past. The United States is going to suffer a loss in quality of life. It's already been going on, actually. The American income has been dropping steadily as a consequence of inflation for 20 years. The one guy was making a difference was Donald Trump, but they couldn't have him. No, they could not have Donald Trump. Why? Because he interrupted the gravy train in Washington, D.C. Mitch McConnell and Mike Pence were just as much involved in trashing the Constitution and the will of the people in the subversion, the sabotage of democracy by the fabricated events of January 6th that were used to preempt motions to pause the count in order to review the bidding with regard to the state electors and their slates. Well, it was really quite a brilliant plan, quite a brilliant plan. Create this intervention, create this entry, and then claim under emergency circumstances it got to evacuate. And then when you reconvene, it's under emergency rules. And all the prior business of the Congress evaporates, leaving no residue. None of those motions or attempts to move or what have you remain in the record, leaving no legal basis for the Supreme Court to consider reviewing all the evidence, the massive proof of electoral fraud, especially in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, key states where the vote was stolen. I mean, this is just so monstrous, so ghastly. So what have we done now? Between getting rid of the one guy who was actually securing our borders, making us energy independent, keeping us out of wars, where the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate, fastest rate. They went out of their way to get rid of him and bring in a guy who would immediately trash the Keystone Pipeline, the XL Pipeline, drain our national petroleum reserve, open our borders to flood the nation with migrants. Listen, it makes me sick, physically ill, to think about the destruction that Biden has perpetrated on the United States in the short 2 years. He's been able to push the buttons and pull the levers, and it's not even the real guy from Delaware. So the country's screwed. I can't begin to tell you how badly we have been screwed. And now we're also screwed militarily and economically in terms of international relations. We've created a new superpower with which the United States can't and Europe cannot compete. Again, Russia, China, and Iran are holding a 5-day maritime exercise seeking to bolster their naval security, Beijing defense minister announced. The ministry said the three nations security bond 2023 war games in the Gulf of Oman run from March 15th to 19th, today being the 17th, and that several unspecified countries will also be joining. This exercise will help deepen the practical cooperation between the navies of participating countries, further demonstrate the willingness and ability to jointly maintain maritime security, the ministry stating, adding it will inject positive energy into regional peace and stability. China's guided missile destroyer Nanning will be taking part, the ministry said, noting that security bond 2023 will build on drills held by China, Russia, and Iran in 2019 and 2022. So this has been coming. In late 2019, similar three-nation exercise took place in the Indian Ocean and Arabian Sea with a spokesman for the Iranian military, Abulfaz Sakarshi, saying that the goal was to counter terrorism and privacy in 2022. The security bond maneuvers encompassed the northern part of the Indian Ocean and involved the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the elite branch of Tehran's military, which the U.S. government has, just as it does with Trump supporters, designated to be terrorists. I mean, have you ever heard of such insanity? Earlier this week, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said cooperation between Moscow and Beijing had reached a whole new level, with a partnership serving as one of the main deterrents to the aggressive activities of the United States and its henchmen in the Asia-Pacific region. In late February, China conducted another naval drill with Russia along with South Africa. Bob Pretoria called it a means of increasing coordination between the three countries. Western media branded the move controversial in view of the Ukraine conflict. The U.S. also weighed in with the White House statement Karine Jean-Pierre, whose qualifications are that even though she's a brainless twit, she's black and gay, and therefore they appoint her to a position such as being press secretary for the President of the United States, stating in January that Washington has concerns about any country exercising with Russia as Moscow continues its military campaign in Ukraine. Well, tough bananas. Who gives a damn? Meanwhile, China says AUKUS countries are going down a dangerous path. The US, UK, and Australia unveiled their submarine plans on Monday. The Chinese Foreign Ministry warned Tuesday the U.S., Britain, and Australia are going down a dangerous path with the AUKUS military pact after the three nations unveiled their nuclear-powered submarine plans. The latest joint statement issued by the U.S., the U.K., and Australia shows that the three countries, for their own geopolitical interests, have totally disregarded the concerns of the international community and gone further down the wrong and dangerous path, said Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Webin. Wang suggested the deal could violate the Non-Proliferation Treaty, although there's a major loophole in the treaty that applies to submarines. Under AUKUS, Australia will acquire U.S.-made nuclear-powered submarines with the goal of Canberra eventually being able to produce its own, by the way. I believe those were originally going to be obtained from France. U.S. nuclear-powered submarines use highly enriched weapons-grade uranium. But under the Non-Proliferation Treaty's loophole, naval reactors are not subject to inspection under the International Atomic Energy Agency. The AUKUS deal will be the first time that loophole will be used to transfer fissile material and nuclear technology to a non-nuclear weapon state. While not technically a violation of the NPT, AUKUS does test some articles of the treaty that say non-nuclear weapon states should use nuclear weapons for peaceful purposes. Wang warned the deal was a proliferation risk. Nuclear submarine cooperation between the U.S., the U.K., and Australia involves a transfer of large amounts of weapons-grade, highly enriched uranium from nuclear weapon states to non-nuclear weapon state, which poses a serious nuclear proliferation risk and violates the purpose and objective of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Australian officials expect to spend up to $245 billion on the submarine initiative by 2055. The U.S. Navy envisions Australia becoming a full-service submarine hub for all underwater craft activity in the Asian Pacific, cementing Canberra's role as a U.S. ally in a potential future conflict with China, although plans under AUKUS won't be completed for decades. Well, isn't that just dandy? Here's further confirmation of the points I've already been made. They lied about anything, everything. 96-page D.C. police report uncovered shows government knew MAGA was coming on January 6th and entrapped them all. The Metropolitan Police released a report on the D.C. protests on January 6th, according to attorney Joe McBride, who uncovered the report. The government knew MAGA was coming to D.C., so they entrapped them. It was all a setup. The report is included in the first tweet from January 6th attorney Joe McBride. Tweet, they lied about everything. They knew MAGA Republicans were coming to protest, so they entrapped them. He's got a lot of documents, a lot of records here from the report. Expected protest overview. A number of individuals and groups are calling for their supporters to travel to Washington, D.C. on or before January 6, 2021 to show support for POTUS and for overturning the election results. The protest rallies are expected to be similar to the previous million mega watch rallies in November and December of 2020, which drew tens of thousands of participants. It's also expected members of the Proud Boys who intend to wear plain clothes and not their traditional yellow and black clothing, white supremacist groups, Antifa, and other extremist groups of rally on January 6, 2021. Multiple arrests were made as a result of clashes between pro-Trump and opposing groups during each of the November and December rallies. Charges included assault with a dangerous weapon, assault on police, civil assault, weapon violation, riotous acts, and destruction of property, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and crossing a police line. A number of law enforcement officers were injured in the skirmishes. Many of the confrontation occurred after the rallies ended. More, they knew Antifa was coming. Joseph McBride did a good job here. Julie Kelly discussed the report in the war room. That would be Steve Bannon's job. She said the report had been designated highly sensitive government information. It's like all the surveillance video. But again, it's more evidence that undercuts the idea that law enforcement was completely unprepared and had no idea what was going to happen that day. There are at least two anti-Trump rallies in Washington the same day, by the way, including an Antifa rally scheduled about the same time the joint session was to convene. Meanwhile, the judge has denied a request from January 6th to cross-examine FBI agent on leaked messages. Of course, how can we have law and order? How can we have defendants defend themselves when the government wants to suppress and crush Trump's supporters? I'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Remember, in America, if you're a Trump supporter, you're guilty. There's no presumption of innocence. Get this. Defendants in the ongoing January 6th Capitol breach trial suffered a defeat Monday. As a court ordered, the defendants may not cross-examine an FBI agent for most of the defense attorney's allegations that spawned from internal FBI messages inadvertently leaked in court. Judge Timothy Kelly, a Trump-appointed judge, on Monday addressed allegations made by attorneys of the January 6th defendants that targeted leaked internal FBI messages, which were revealed in court when Nick Smith, a defense attorney representing Ethan Nordine, cross-examined FBI Special Agent Nicole Miller on Thursday of last week. The judge denied all but one of the defendant's arguments about the leaked messages. That left a narrowed space for the defendants to maneuver should they wish to upend the trial based on these messages alone. The leaked messages emerged when Smith showed in court he had rows in an Excel spreadsheet provided to him by the Department of Justice, which contain thousands of lines of correspondence among FBI agents, mostly addressed to Agent Miller, in the agency's link system. The files were hidden via a filter function in Excel. The messages included a directive from FBI personnel to Miller to destroy 338 pieces of evidence, and another directive to Miller to edit out an FBI agent from a confidential human source informant report. Listen to that! A directive to destroy 338 pieces of evidence. And this is supposed to be the premier law enforcement investigative agency in the world? Give me a break. What bullshit. Since last Thursday, these internal messages were the focus of defense attorneys. Well, as the messages showed that the DOJ altered evidence, violated due process, and intruded on the defendant's right to counsel by monitoring the defendant's communication with her counsel. Based on these allegations, the defendant's attorney made a range of requests to the court, including the appointment of a special counsel to review the messages, further cross-examination of Agent Miller about the messages, and dismissal of the case altogether, all of which seemed to me perfectly reasonable under the circumstances. Remember, the prosecution, whether it's a district attorney or attorney general, has the greater obligation to ensure justice is done by providing all evidence that could be exculpatory as well as prosecutorial to the defense. And they obviously are not doing that when they're destroying evidence. Cross-examination referred to the defense lawyers questioning a plaintiff's witness, Agent Miller, in this case. It comes after the plaintiff questioned the witness in direct examinations. The scope of cross-examination usually limits to that touched on by the line of questioning by the plaintiff in direct examination for the purpose of checking the witness's testimony, knowledge, or credibility. The defense attorneys in this case requested a further cross-examine Agent Miller on the leaked FBI communications, which is extraneous information to the plaintiff's original line of questioning. The DOJ sought to stop all further questioning about these leaked messages and push defense attorneys back to the DOJ's original line of questioning in direct examination, according to its court filings over the weekend. The judge rejected all but one of their allegations, which was a request to cross-examine Agent Miller regarding the editing of an FBI personnel out of a CHS informant report. Wow! Because he wouldn't let them question about deleting 338 pieces of evidence, destroying 338 pieces of evidence. A judge wouldn't allow that? In a Sunday filing, the DOJ said the editing request and the disputed message was sent by another FBI, and they use the word personnel here in an odd way, who was trying to remove his name from correspondence with a confidential course he was no longer handling. The DOJ maintained the FBI personnel, instructed Miller to edit out the agent's name and pursuant to FBI policy and characterize the message as a routine clerical matter unrelated to the Proud Boys. In response, the defense, in my opinion, highly appropriately said that DOJ's words could not be assumed true and required further investigation. But how much more blatant are 338 items of evidence the FBI destroyed? My God, if that's not a basis for an appeal, that ought to be a successful appeal. I cannot imagine what would. Nordine does not deny that these facts could be true. However, the government's summary presentation of facts in a brief, accompanied by no sworn declaration without even an identified source of information, cannot eliminate Nordine's rule-based right to cross-examine the witness about an exchange that, on its face, does not appear benign. Nordine's attorney wrote in a filing Sunday, adding the defense should be able to cross-examine Agent Miller for this reason. No doubt. In an order issued at the beginning of the trial, Kelly agreed with Nordine that cross-examination of Agent Miller on the message contained in the CHS report would be appropriate and found the messages, at least at face value, that show it is plausible that the agent may have provided a CHS report that was inaccurate or incomplete. Nordine's attorney cross-examined Miller on the CHS report as of Monday. The judge has not found that the witness contradicted her own testimony on record. Another allegation, one that spurred heated exchanges in court, which Kelly ruled void, was that the defendants claimed that the DOJ monitored attorney-client communication and crafted a trial strategy around the said communication. Wow. An agent involved in the investigation, Data Miller. This one email definitely indicates that defendant Real and his attorney want to go to trial, wrote Nordine in a filing Sunday, citing an FBI email message. The agent says that one of the lead prosecutors on this matter should not be alerted yet. Attorneys acting for January 6th defendant Dominic Pezzola and Nordine said in court filings that the message would violate the defendant's right to counsel, as the FBI allegedly monitored communication between a co-defendant, Zachary Real, and his attorney. The message just violated the Sixth Amendment, the defendant stated, which prohibits invasion of the right to counsel. That sure looks correct to me. But the DOJ said because Rail and his attorney communicated over a monitored prison system, they had waived the right to attorney-client privilege. Now, it is true that prison communications, you know, those are all monitored. That's common knowledge. The government has not obtained any privileged communication between defendant Real and Mosley, the government wrote in response. Real and Mosley made a fully informed choice to communicate over a monitored jail cell system. In doing so, they waived any privilege. Probably right. Kelly, during trial on Monday, ruled in favor of the government and affirmed its stance that because messages were made in a prison communication system, the defense's claim that the monitoring was a Sixth Amendment violation is void. Therefore, defendants may not cross-examine Agent Miller on this point. Furthermore, Kelly ruled the defendants may not cross-examine Miller on a leaked message that appeared to direct Agent Miller to destroy 338 pieces of evidence. Kelly affirmed that the government's stance of the defense had not shown sufficient evidence to connect the said evidence to the case. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing in the record to suggest the agent was involved with this case, or the destruction was related to evidence in this case. Moreover, the judge said because the defendants have not provided any substantial backing to connect the messages to the case, the message's probative evidentiary value would be marginal and largely outweighed by risks of unfair prejudice, confusion of issues, and misleading the jury. My goodness. I think he ought to have gone in the opposite direction and brought it all in to see whether or not it made a difference to the case. On the ground above, Kelly ruled the defendants would not have an opportunity to cross-examine Agent Miller on the messages the defense said showed the destruction of evidence. Meanwhile, Biden lies by omission. Forgets to tell America that we are bailing out China's venture capital business with a Silicon Valley bank rescue. I think that's something we're entitled to know. According to CBS, Mr. Biden reiterated during his remarks that no losses will be borne by the taxpayers. I do not believe that for a second. Instead, the money will instead come from fees that banks pay into the deposit insurance fund. Well, where do you think the banks get the money they pay into the deposit insurance fund? What Biden did not share, his lie of omission, is that the U.S. government is bailing out Chinese venture capitalists who had a significant amount of deposits in the SVB. Last night, we reported that the South China Morning Post noted the bridge between SVB and China. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, has created a sense of panic within China's tech startup and venture capital sector, as the lenders served as a bridge between U.S. capital and Chinese tech entrepreneurs. Biden left out a very important point this morning about the bailouts. He and his admin are taking to rescue the Silicon Valley Bank. Biden lies through omission. This morning, Joe Biden tried to assure the nation about the banking segment of the economy as his administration announced over the weekend that it was bailing out two banks, Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank. Biden looked simply horrible as he slurred his word mumbled through his short talk about the bailouts. While he was speaking, Western Alliance Bank dropped in value. As of Sunday afternoon, topics related to the collapse of the bank, including SVB bankruptcy, has spread to multiple countries. SVB bankruptcy affects Chinese entrepreneurs, were trending on Chinese microblogging, with posts receiving hundreds of millions of views. Is the 2008 financial crisis happening again? Said one user. China is the second largest venture capital market, and SVB was right in the middle, according to the TechCrunch. China, the world's second largest venture capital market across social media platforms, investors and startups are rushing to share news articles on the fiasco and thoughts on how to prevent such a catastrophic moment. For some companies, however, the impact is tangible. When China was still new to venture capital in the late 1990s, SVB was among the first financial institutions to start serving the country's startups, while traditional risk-averse banks avoided them over time. The bank had become a popular option for China-based startup fundraising in the U.S., as well as some China-focused U.S. dollar venture capital firms. What Biden left out is the U.S. is covering for his Chinese Communist Party buddies and their venture capital business seeking U.S. dollars. Here's an interesting report coming from a prominent figure in the Russian Duma. Biden's insanity led to a crisis in the U.S. financial system. President Joe Biden is heading into another election race with a set of economic problems. They appeared because of his senile course, said State Duma Speaker Valesha Voldelin. Wow. The American leader is guilty of the fact that the security system in the world is completely destroyed. The United States has been building it up for many years to avoid the threat of another world war. However, in 3 years, actually less, Biden was able to nullify all efforts. There is risk of a global financial crisis. Washington tried to overcome its problems in a proven way by continuing to print fiat dollars. This led to record inflation in 40 years, and fiat dollars just means you just run a printing press to print up more and more dollars. There's nothing to back them. They're not connected to any physical substance. Remember, Nixon took us off the gold standard way back when at the advice of Henry Kissinger. And ever since, the value of the dollar has been related to its use as a reserve currency in oil transactions worldwide. But that is now all but a figment of the past. Biden continued to raise the key rate. As a result, banks were unable to service loans. A crisis of the American financial system will most affect those who are guided by it, he stressed. We're talking about Sweden, Norway, and South Korea. Pensioners will be especially affected, risking the collapse of pension funds. According to him, the U.S. will not return the money, but will continue to survive at the expense of other countries. The only way to be saved from this bondage is to abandon the dollar. Well, actually, the dollar is being abandoned. There's not a lot of room for doubt there. The dollar is being abandoned. Meanwhile, Joaquin Egobin has very serious observation to make about what's going on here. Now, this is a piece published first in the Government Rag, but now also on my JamesHFetzer.org blog. This guy is one of the most astute commentators on domestic politics and international affairs of my acquaintance. Joaquin Agopian staged U.S. banking meltdown, obscures, direct ties to global drug pedo trafficking network. Serious stuff. The big news this week is America's 16th largest bank, Silicon Valley Bank, has gone down as the second largest bank failure in U.S. history, all within 48 hours last Thursday and Friday. The 2008 bankruptcy of Washington Mutual Bank is the largest during the so-called Great Recession from December of 2007 to June of 2009. That financial crisis resulted in the taxpayers' too-big-to-fail bank bailout. It also sacrificed the fourth-largest investment bank, Lehman Brothers, as the two biggest casualties in order to ostensibly save the unsustainable debtor system from total collapse. Ever since, it's given way to kicking the can down the road to ward off total financial collapse. But this latest crisis, as the entire economic and political system again currently hemorrhaging in its wake, that'll soon grow far worse. The global financial crisis of 2008, the worst since the 1929 Great Depression, was blamed on Wall Street greed and lack of federal regulators. But the specific cause was betting on derivatives. The 2008 bailout legislation, called the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, that handed over $1 trillion, mostly taxpayer dollars, to the banks, 63% of which was gifted to the biggest dozen banks. Veteran journalist Matt Taibbi, who recently exposed the Twitter files, writing about the 2008 bank bailout in a March 18, 2019 Rolling Stone article, concludes, "The facts show the crash response was a massive sustained investment in the wealthiest sector of the economy, which also happened to bear the biggest responsibility for the disaster." An overly familiar theme, the same criminals who always benefit the most from every major disaster that the actual perpetrators who caused it created, be it 9/11, the war on terror, the pandemic, to today's ongoing kill shot genocide in Ukraine war, to the financial crises of the Great Depression, 2008 Great Recession, to 2023 domino effect cascading from rippled bank failures, leading to a long-planned global economy collapse. The same ruling elites are behind it all. I repeat, the same criminals who always benefit the most from every major disaster that the actual perpetrators who caused it created, be it 9/11, the war on terror, the pandemic, to today's ongoing kill shot genocide in Ukraine war, to the financial crises of the Great Depression, 2008's Great Recession, and 2023 domino effect cascading from rippled bank failures, leading to a long planned global economy collapse. The same ruling elites are behind it all. The Silicon Valley Bank, with its all woke, fully operational fourth industrial revolution, green energy, climate change, WEF agenda entity, with its CEO, Great Becker, just removed the board of directors of the San Francisco Federal Reserve. Yet the federal regulator shutting this bank down within 24 hours last Friday, March 10th, has to be a record, almost as if it was planned. Maybe because it was. Weeks earlier, Forbes listed it among the best banks in America for the fifth year in a row. So how could a financial institution so well connected in elite hierarchy fall from grace literally overnight? Like everything else these days, it's just more wag the dog theater brought to you by humanity's common enemy, the Rothschild, Rockefeller, royal bloodline, deep state, cabal. On to more sobering consequences never brought under control by the federal regulators nor Wall Street's highly speculative casino mentality, making easy, quick bucks driven by yet more Wall Street greed, which never gets regulated or controlled by elite design. Today's unfolding global financial crisis and its fallout from last week's Silicon Valley bankruptcy has only just begun. Turns out, SVB supplied massive amounts of capital to a number of Chinese tech venture capitalists and China's startup and entrepreneurs. More when we return.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
We'll be right back.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm going through Joaquin Agopian's assessment of the situation of the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and what it means. Pretty serious stuff. I'm going to repeat a paragraph here. It's so significant. The Silicon Valley Bank is all woke as a fully operational fourth industrial revolution, green energy, climate change, WEF agenda entity, with its CEO, Greg Becker, just removed from the board of directors of the San Francisco Federal Reserve. Yep, a federal regulator shutting this bank down within 24 hours last Friday, March 10th, has to be a record, almost as if it was planned, maybe, because it was. Weeks earlier, Forbes listed it among the best banks in America for the fifth year in a row. So how could a financial institution so well-connected in elite hierarchy fall from grace literally overnight? Like everything else these days, it's just more wag-the-dog theater brought to you by humanity's common enemy, the Rothschild Rockefeller Rolo bloodline deep state cabal. On to more sobering consequences never brought under control by the federal regulators or Wall Street's highly speculative casino mentality, making easy, quick bucks driven by yet more Wall Street greed, which never gets regulated or controlled by elite design. Today's unfolding global financial crisis and its fallout from last week's Silicon Valley bankruptcy has only just begun. Turns out, SVB supplied massive amounts of capital to a number of Chinese tech venture capitalists and Chinese startup entrepreneurs. The Shanghai Pudong Development Bank maintained a 50-50 business partnership with SVB as yet another means, through stealth infiltration, for CCP, Chinese Communist Party, tentacles into the U.S. economy via SVB's startup technologies. And right on cue, on Tuesday, March 14th, HSBC bought Silicon Valley's UK subsidiary, like all the largest international banks, little more than a year ago. HSBC got spanked for its unacceptable failings, laundering money generated from trafficking commodities like drugs and small children, fined just $77 million in U.S. dollars. Venture capitalism funding and woke capital embracing the World Economic Forum Fourth Industrial Revolution model of ESG, which stands for Environmental Social Governance, are embodied in Silicon Valley Bank through its top five investors. SVB's top three investing shareholders also happen to be the three wealthiest investment firms in the world, Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street. The fourth biggest SVB investor is a Swiss company called Electra Pensions, and the fifth, America's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. According to Bloomberg, billionaire venture capitalist Peter Thiel, through his founder's fund, shortly prior to the SVB bank run, had encountered bank transfer difficulties with SVB and opted to withdraw his SVB investments. Then on Thursday, March 9th, Thiel, operating through his founder's fund, posted a statement urging other SVB depositors to immediately begin withdrawing their money, which in effect prompted the bank run on the Silicon Valley Bank that led to its quick demise. As of the very next day on Friday, March 10th, FDIC regulators shut SVB down. What Thiel did is tantamount to causing a stampede, racing for the exit door after yelling fire in a theater. Because of Thiel's powerful oligarch status and his rationale that he was simply trying to assist other depositors to save their money, and what he'd apparently concluded was a lost cause, Thiel will not likely suffer any consequences legally nor financially from essentially causing the bank's ruin. But then if it was planned, which it was, then Thiel's implicated implicitly as a likely planner. At least the last couple of years, Peter Thiel has also been an outspoken, harsh vocal critic toward China, accusing it of stealing American technologies, intellectual property, and top secrets, chastising Google and Apple for its too cozy relationship with China, calling Bitcoin China's financial weapon and wanting to ban TikTok. Thiel was also unhappy with SVB's banking partnership with China's startup venture capitalist Pudong Bank. In all likelihood, his disdain for China may have motivated Thiel to want to warn SVB depositors, viewing both China as well as SVB as unwanted hostile competitors. Also, this banking crisis may well be a misdirected off-ramp to divert attention away from the West, already losing interest in its lost war in Ukraine, with the mainstream media growing focus as of late, depicting China as America's chief adversary and enemy number one, politically, economically, and militarily. Yet, since Biden for years has been owned and controlled by Chinese Communist Party blackmail and bribery, in conjunction with the Federal Reserve, FDIC, and its treasurer, Janet Yellen, Biden's vow to pay back every SVB depositor's loss, including the Chinese investors, once again has him bailing out China. This comes the very day the House of Representatives Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer launched his probe into Biden and his son Hunter's crime with China, reports. It's as bad as we thought. We have in hand documents that Joe Biden was getting money from Chinese party. On Tuesday, March 14th, the U.S. Treasury conceded to Comer's Oversight Committee investigation uncovering the power and control that China has through bribery and blackmail over the Biden crime family. Finally, after ignoring two previous requests, the Treasury is handing over bank records to Congress as a highly incriminating evidence of the illegal money trail from China, Russia, and Ukraine straight to Joe Biden family as a completely compromised imposter and thief president. As an aside, note, similar to enemy of humanity Bill Gates being the U.S. biggest agricultural landowner pushing his bioweapons and artificial meat and insects for food, China has also been busily buying up American farmland like there's no tomorrow. Whether to spy on top-secret U.S. military installation like North Dakota's Grand Forks Air Force Base a dozen miles away, or to add Soros to feed his own 1.4 billion population, China is becoming a growing threat to America's own decreasing supply of food production, eagerly buying up precious U.S. farmland. North Dakota and South Dakota politicians have begun introducing legislation to prohibit China's U.S. land grab. unsurprisingly, both Israeli SVB investors and SVB's own CEO and executive knew the bank was going down prior to its crash, taking full greedy advantage. As of Tuesday, March 14th, the U.S. Department of Justice and Securities and Exchange Commission are launching investigations over Silicon Valley Bank's abrupt collapse and any improprieties prior. For instance, Greg Becker, CEO of SVB Financial parent company, just ahead of its own bank crash, sold almost 12,500 of his shares for $287 apiece on February 7th, making a cool $3.6 million only 11 days prior to SVB's demise. Also, just as all Israeli firms with offices in the top floor of the Twin Towers were pre-warned not to show up for work on 9/11, Israeli firms with assets of SVB were alerted with a heads up, perhaps from globalist financial overseer U.S. Treasurer Janet Yellen, from a Sunday, March 12th, Times of Israel piece. Israel's two largest banks, Bank Leumi and Bank Hapoalim, set up a situation room that had been operating around the clock to help firms transfer their money from SVB before it was seized to accounts in Israel. Over the past few days, teams at Lumitech, the high-tech banking arm of Bank Leumi, have been able to help their Israeli clients transfer about $1 billion to Israel, the bank said. Israeli Khazarian Mafia chief Bibi Netanyahu recently announced on social media, "I am closely watching the fall of American investment bank SVB, which has created a deep crisis in the high-tech world." With Bibi Netanyahu's Israel, the world's high-tech power broker, essentially challenging and replacing Silicon Valley and innovative technologies that subversively specialize in global cybersecurity that includes his nation's infamous backdoor technologies, infiltrating, stealing, and selling other nations' secrets, like America's military, government, and technology to the highest bidders in China. After all, KM, Khazarian Mafia boss, Bibi should know, his brief chief political adversary, former Israeli PM Ehud Barak, was Epstein's best buddy and business partner. As prime minister yet again, now that Israel retrieved its money from the failed SVB just in time, Netanyahu assures that his government will assist any Israeli SVB customers during the aftermath, making certain that their pseudo-secrets remain safe with him. It's worth a look at the ties running deep between Silicon Valley Bank, Israel's largest bank, Leumi Bank, America's largest bank, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Germany's largest Deutsche Bank, and the worldwide Epstein-Maxwell child sex trafficking blackmail operation. By the way, I add, this guy is the world's leading expert in this area. Many Israeli startup companies have been financed by SVB as well by Leumi Bank. Both are among a number of banks issued subpoenas by the U.S. Virgin Island Attorney General Denise George for their money laundering connections to the Jeffrey Epstein Ghislaine Maxwell operation, sponsored and funded by both Israeli intelligence and Zionist billionaire Les Wexner, co-founding member of the Zionist Mega Group, a nefarious Jewish billionaire boys club that includes that Pato Clinton linked luminaries as the late Edgar Bronfman, whose daughter Claire Bronfman is currently in prison for racketeering in the NXIVM sex cult scandal involving child sex trafficking, accused pedophile Hollywood director Steven Spielberg, and his Steve Lauder's son and heir, Ronald Lauder, suspected as former Austrian U.S. ambassador to have arranged Jeffrey Epstein's fake Austrian passport. Incidentally, other globalist alleged SVB customers who lost money include high-profile celebrities Oprah Winfrey and royals Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Or Oprah and the royals share best friends with famous pedophiles like Jimmy Savile, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and John of God, the first two of the most infamous deceased pedophiles in the UK and US history. The latter two both presently incarcerated for child sex, rape, and trafficking crime. No doubt the royals and Oprah got their money out in time. Though U.S. Virgin Island prosecutor Denise George's deep rabbit hole dive, probing Epstein deep state bank ties, led her boss, U.S. Virgin Island Governor Albert Bryan Jr., to fire her in early January of 2023 for uncovering too much dirt. On December 27, 2022, she had filed a third lawsuit against J.P. Morgan, America's largest bank, under longtime Rothschild control. No coincidence, on December 27, Joe Biden also arrived in the Virgin Islands, where the crime family owns property on an island just a few nautical miles from Epstein's Orgy Island, to spend the holidays. And it's also definitely no accident that the very day after Puppet Biden left the Virgin Islands, the island puppet governor suddenly fired his extremely competent attorney general without explanation. The day after the puppet Biden left the Virgin Islands, the puppet governor suddenly filed his extremely competent attorney general without explanation. As soon as Denise George honed in on J.B. Morgan, she is no longer the U.S. territory's attorney general. That in and of itself speaks volumes. Like the Rothschild banking cartel sponsors, the Epstein-Maxwell sexual blackmail operations had one and the same partners in crime. Prior to her termination, prosecutor Denise George managed to win two financial lawsuit settlements against both Deutsche Bank for $150 million as one among many Epstein money laundering lenders, as well as against the Epstein estate itself, collecting $105 million for her citizens. In the lawsuit against J.B. Morgan Bank, linked to money laundering, the very same day that Silicon Valley Bank was going belly up on March 9, the Manhattan U.S. District Court judge ordered CEO Jamie Dimon and his J.P. Morgan Bank to cough up more documents from 2015-19 in the U.S. Virgin Island lawsuit, accusing the bank of aiding money laundering the Epstein-Maxwell operation. As the dominoes fall, last week, J.P. Morgan sued Jess Stanley, former J.P. Morgan senior executive as Epstein's personal banker and later Barclays Bank CEO, for his intimate ties to the Epstein-Maxwell operation. Between 2008 and 2012, Stanley and Epstein exchanged 1,200 emails. They span just before, during, and after Epstein's first arrest and sweetheart deal. Other financial institutions subpoenaed for also being suspected of same illicit activities with the same infamous pedophile trafficker are also Silicon Valley Bank, Israel's favorite startup, and nation's largest bank, Leumi. Charles Schwab, hit with a $3 billion loss in the SVB meltdown, and other big boy banks, Wells Fargo and Citibank, among others. Again, as a huge income source for all the world's largest banks, controlled by the same usual bloodline suspects, they are all profiting from the pedophile scourge affecting our planet. The sooner we all know this, the sooner they can be brought to justice. As another international bank source linked criminally to Epstein, let's take a closer look at Germany's largest bank, Deutsche. Having lost its lawsuit filed and won by Virgin Islands AG Denise George. My impression of her is just fantastic. Deutsche Bank, headquartered in the Rothschilds cartel homeland of Frankfurt, possesses a long, dubious reputation and track record as a money laundering front for organized crime. The main office at Germany's largest lender was raided by German federal police and federal regulators only 10 months ago. For 2 days in 2018, 170 police raided this same headquarters for evidence the bank was helping clients evade taxes, which is easily a cover for money laundering as well. The year prior, in 2017, the bank was fined $630 million by U.S. and U.K. authorities for a money laundering operation allegedly out of Russia. In January 2017, it was also hit with a massive $7.2 billion fine for contributing to an international financial crisis, lying to investors about its mortgage-backed securities. Authorities 2 years earlier fined Deutsche $2.5 billion for rigging the LIBOR interest rate between 2003 and 2007. How else can Deutsche continue paying out billions in penalties while continually engaging in organized crime activity unless its revenue generated from said crime supersedes all risk and legal payouts, doing nonstop business with shady criminals like Epstein? On extremely shaky grounds now, it's believed to be the next domino to fall. No surprise that child sex trafficker blackmailing pedophile Jeffrey Epstein would turn to this criminal bank of all banks to money launder his 2-decades-long international pedo operation. After losing his case involving laundered Epstein cash in 2020, Deutsche was penalized yet again, incurring a mere $150 million fine for all its years of partnering with and profiting from Epstein Maxwell's despicable, shady business, simply looking the other way throughout. $150 million slap on the hand for Germany's largest bank a year after Epstein's death was a mere pittance for significant compliance failures, mistakes, and sloppiness, not for getting caught again knowingly money laundering perhaps billions belonging to the most infamous pedophile trafficking blackmailer in the entire world again. The bottom line here is a central banking cartel owned and operated for centuries by the Rothschild, Rockefeller, pedo bloodline overlords are running out of all its laundered cash from Ukraine's dried up revenue streams to this week's current shakedown of regional woke tech green agenda ESG banks in America owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. In today's deep state cabal, all banking roads lead to Epstein or others like him, as the Mike Gill evidence in New Hampshire shows, organized pedo crime, insolvency, and usury theft bleeding us dry. Per the passage of the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act to ward off another banking blowout after the Leary 2008 bailout, more federal regulators were deployed on the financial scene to ostensibly slow down bankers' casino-driven speculation over those uncontrollably nasty debt-consuming derivatives. Yet it had zero impact because greed among operators within this usury debtor functional reserve banking system controlled by the Rothschilds never changes. So used to having their way, why change? Analyst Michael Hudson notes, there's an even larger elephant in the room, derivatives. Volatility in Greece last Thursday and Friday. The turmoil has reached vast magnitude beyond what characterized the 2008 crash of AIG and other speculators. Today, J.P. Morgan Chase and other New York banks have tens of trillions of dollar valuations of derivatives, casino bets on which way interest rates, bond prices, stock prices, and other measures will change. By the Federal Reserve rapidly raising interest rates this year from 0 to 4.75, it's taken a severe toll on the currently deflated market value of Treasury bonds, worth far less than the $620 billion in yet unrealized potential loss. On March 13th, Washington Examiner article weighed in. Fallout from the Silicon Valley Bank collapse had directed attention to a $620 billion ticking time bomb in the banking system that has a potential to spell doom for the financial system. The domino effects of failing banks appears to be cascading throughout the banking industry as First Republic Bank shares plummeted nearly 70% on March 13th alone. Last week, both the Silicon Valley Bank, followed by the third largest bank failure in U.S. history, the Manhattan-based Signature Bank, became the next financial institutions to crater, catering to cryptocurrency industry. Signature CEO Scott Shea clearly spent too much time ensuring his staff was up on all the latest transgender pronoun etiquette and not enough on sound banking principles. After it was reported, he ran a seminar for his workers last October called Know Your Pronouns. The same fate has befallen another crypto lender, Silvergate, also shutting down liquefying assets. So which day this last week, one by one, another regional financial institution serving high-tech crypto market wokeness is tanking again by elite's design.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This piece by Joaquin Agopian is just fascinating, but it's complex and sprawling. I'm glad to take calls at any point. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452, or Mitchell will take your call and get you on the air. I'll add a bit more, but it's really fascinating. Meanwhile, habitual government liars like Biden and the U.S. Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, insist banks are still a safe bet, and that demand for small and mid-sized lender depositor outflows are slowing. Euphemistic language for no major bank runs threatening to destabilize citizen total lack of confidence in U.S. financial institutions. That's only because Janet Yellen, the Fed Reserve, Jerome Powell, and Biden promised their paper fiat manufacturing plant will be working overtime to reimburse all depositors' losses, driving up the hyperinflation rate overnight. So our U.S. dollar in a few days or weeks will likely become worthless. When the already shaky ground crumbles, the U.S. dollar crash is imminent. And the global house of cards, economic and financial infrastructure will be free-falling dominoes. The November 2022 bust of the giant crypto fraud, the FTX scandal, got this criminal wrecking ball rolling big time, exposing the deep state cabal's criminal liability tied to Ukraine Biden's DNC money laundering machine. Former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, who criminally protected the FTX scam operation, providing kickback bribes up to one-third of all Congress members, mostly the woke leftist commie Democrats. Meanwhile, with the Yellen's links to her Stanford professor days, with her best bud peers, the young fraudster Sam Bankman-Fried's professor parents, Treasurer Yellen, is now pulling more strings behind this unprecedented banking crisis bailout, printing money out of thin air until it's worth zero just to avoid the inevitable collapse a little longer. Sobering stuff. The Federal Reserve announced Sunday, March 12th, it's offering loans for all failing depository institutions up to 1 year under the new Bank Term Funding Program. American Rothschild private central banking system, deceptively given the misnomer Federal Reserve Board, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, and U.S. Security Secretary Yellen rushed to plug the gaping, ever-widening crack in the cabal mafia money laundering dam about to burst, guaranteeing a bailout of this entire failing bank meltdown. But the reality of merely printing up more fiat money to pay back all depositors of all the mounting insolvent banks is an unwinnable proposition as a mere short-term bank aid kicking the proverbial can down the road, doomed to fail, and certain to send inflation rates sky-high virtually overnight. So when you wake up one day to find your dollar is worth nothing, we'll all be shit out of luck. Unless you're fortunate enough to have prudently invested in tangible, durable, lasting assets that'll retain their value like silver and gold. But again, that does nothing for the 64% of Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck, which now it applies over half of Americans earning more than $100,000 a year, or the nearly half who have less than $500 in total savings, as energy bills double. hyperinflation is likely kicking in, and survival costs going through the roof, tough times lie ahead when the dollar is dead as the international reserve currency with utterly worthless purchasing power. This genocidal catastrophe in the making, intentionally perpetrated by psychopathic elites, offers a dystopian future for billions of people around the globe. Unless, as a human species, we undergo a transformation in higher consciousness to create and build a whole new world from ground level up, led by those not of the same as the old boss ilk, our future looks outright grim. But if we reject the World Economic Council's great reset and its assured digitalized enslavement, we can make the difference between life and death, happiness and sorrow, joy and suffering. It may be a tall order challenge facing humanity today, but any alternative choice, excepting where the criminals are rapidly taking us, from my point of view, is worse than death. As a New Hampshire state motto says, live free or die. Or, as revolutionary Patrick Henry stated in 1775, give me liberty or give me death. All of the frantic stopgap measures rolled out by the power brokers who created this mess to begin with, just to kick the proverbial can down the road as a temporary delay, will not prevent the inevitable dam from bursting wide open into a torrential flood of worldwide bankruptcy debt that in weeks, months, or even days will consume us as a major global depression. A flip side to this major challenge, struggling for survival, will also bring down the unsustainable, insolvent Rothschild central banks of Wall Street and City of London. In the short term, within this parasitic food chain milieu, big fish eat the little fish. And all four largest U.S. banks, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, overnight gained enormous assets and capital from the flood of new depositors running for the Trojan horse shelter. According to Bloomberg, Bank of America ranked in $15 billion in the last few days. But a few short days earlier on Thursday, March 9th, during that single day, Bank of America lost $16 billion. While America's largest bank, J.P. Morgan, slit $22 billion into the red. And those same top four banks lost a whopping $55 billion that day. Today's market volatility, combined with the public's increasing lack of confidence in banks and bank run contagion amid severe loss of the U.S. dollar value within the non-transparent artificial machine that unscrupulously does everything to cover up and obscure its darker truth, cannot possibly overturn its inherently flawed systemic tsunami of warning signs blaring out loud that today's financial system is destined to go bust. But then that's the intention. Cutting a little excessive woke fat from regional banks only consolidate power into the few big boy hands, making it easier for a global meltdown crisis toward one world government. Yup, just the last weapon of mass destruction out of the puppet master's arsenal. Many financial analysts, including the mainstream, now admit to foreboding trends and forecasts for the banking industry sector, not to mention the shell-shock big tech industry. Some analysts, like Jim Willey, believe that most of the big banks are already insolvent, and a number of international banks. Investor Robert Kiyosaki, who predicted the Lehman Brothers' demise, believes Credit Suisse may be next to fall into a solvency. Others claim the scandalous Deutsche Bank will be joining them, citing banks' rapidly deteriorating operating environment. Moody's Investor Service just lowered the U.S. banking system from stable to negative. The Federal Reserve modus operandi, printing up more fiat currency to avoid losing depositors' life savings in order to hold off major bank run by millions rushing to desperately withdraw money, cannot possibly stave off the final inevitable blow, the grand crash of 2023 into 2024, likely to render the 1930s Great Depression a joyride in the park. This house of cards economy, temporarily being propped up on an artificial life support, defies the fact that its crumbling foundation is about to collapse and freefall into oblivion. It's long been planned as the elite's great reset. Per an alleged World Economic Forum insider who held senior executive positions at Enron, Lehman Brothers, and since 2007 at Silicon Valley Bank as its chief administrative officer, Joseph Gentile was allegedly caught boasting that the SVB collapsed with a deliberately executed scheme that went according to diabolical plan to unleash a domino effect on the entire banking industry, soon leading to global financial ruin. Just ahead of the 2008 defunct Lehman Brothers, its chief financial officer, Joseph Gentile, in 2007, slipped out the back jack, made a new plan stand to get himself free and onto SVB as deep state serial demolition man from deep state hell. Brennan O'Connell has a worthwhile take on the banking crisis, linking it back to courageous whistleblower Mike Gill, exposing the banking cabal's mafia operation and control in New Hampshire. He reveals how the giant multi-billion dollar ultra-plush Boston Private Bank and Trust Company serves as a cutout corporation for its tiny registered agent, CT Corporation, up the road in the capital of New Hampshire, in order to hide the biggest drug and human sex trafficking money laundering operation in the world. On July 1st, 2021, Boston Private Bank became an SVB acquisition into its parent company, SVB Financial Group, registered as a foreign profit corporation, a.k.a. global trafficking operation launderer, according to Brendan, per the Pandora Papers. Drug money launderers set up limited liability and trust companies, just like this dodgy little shithole office, CT Corporation Silicon Valley Bank, is a drug-running bank with strong ties to Israel. It collapsed because the large account manager realized that the Mike Gill revelations and a congressional inquiry was coming, and they jumped ship immediately, crashing the bank. The Pandora Papers identified New Hampshire with $932 billion in drug money as the largest money laundering operation in the world, and Mike Gill exposed it fully at a huge cost to himself and the $300 million business they took from him. But all this unfolding calamity is merely the stage deadly symptom as part of the long festering disease created by predatory bloodline controllers, international banking cartel. But with Ukraine, their devil's playground, where trillions in lost revenue streams have dried up since the Russian special military cleanup operation began, the deep state cabals, child sex trafficking, drug trafficking, human organ trafficking, and arms trafficking, along with dozens of decommissioned DOD bioweapon labs, have all been cut off and now becoming fully exposed. So their great reset includes their current banking meltdown. Their grand plan did not include their lost power, demolishing its lifeblood cutoff from the pre-2022 booming organized crime industry. The bloodline banking cabal cannot survive Without the lost trillions from the harvesting and trafficking of children's commoditized bloodline, literally, the evil controlling this earth for millennia is fast losing its grip on power and control as we uncover all the divide and conquer deception and problem reaction solution MOs that aren't working as effectively anymore. As a result, this Rothschild controlled criminal cabal is growing more desperate by the day. And that's why it's full speed ahead, plunging humanity off the nuclear Armageddon cliff. If they are doomed to perish, then as Satanists, they're determined to doom us all. When all else fails, world war is always a controlling banker's ready-made answer. So this last year, they've been revving up their warmongering rhetoric, demonizing the designated evil empire, axis of evil narrative, retreads from the Reagan-Bush days, spinning the same old propaganda lies against the West, same old Cold War enemies, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. We've seen this rerun before, only this time, we're not buying it. The globalists, represented by the Anglo-American Zio Empire, operated by the Khazarian Mafia, personified by the likes of Klaus Schwab and his bloodline-controlling 3R friends, the Royals, Rothschilds, and Rockefellers et al., over the last several decades, teamed up with the Chinese Communist Party, using its top-down model of centralized tyranny to hone in on one-world government control over a depopulated humanity by means of mostly targeting the West through the genocidal death jab and unrestricted hybrid warfare. Puppets Biden, Obama, the DNC, and the rest of the uniparty traitors and WEF-groomed G7 leaders are following their Rothschild CCP puppet masters' marching orders as useful idiots to further undermine and overthrow every country's national sovereignty and constitution through a plethora of means. The global genocide and UN World Health Organization pandemic treaty power grab for more mandated lockdowns and kill shots hasn't gone away, designed to supersede all national sovereignty on yet one more aggressive front. The elites' Great Reset is a relentless onslaught of weapons of mass destruction intended to wreak worldwide havoc, chaos, mass die-off, and total destruction against today's shrinking global population, simultaneously timed with their long-engineered global economy collapse. This current wave of bank failures is the latest centralized power grab to implement digital currency control. The planetary controllers are going down. The big question is, how many of us will they take with them? Global pushback in opposition against our 15-minute smart cities, digital IDs, and cashless digital currency is our optimal pathway out of this peril through non-compliance, unified by our overwhelming numbers and resolve to defeat their neo-feudal dystopian enslavement. I find that virtually breathtaking. I'm really just astonished by it all. Very, very, very difficult to see a way out of it. Absolutely. Very, very difficult. Stunning stuff. Meanwhile, I did a show with David Zublik yesterday that was really, I thought, perhaps the most important he and I have ever done, and we've been doing them on a daily basis for years and years now. And it's up on Rumble. Go to the David Zublik channel on Rumble. The link to yesterday's show is right there. And I just tell you, I encourage you to do that. I would also add that I have done a debate on 9/11 with Michael Shermer, and it's uploaded at Aneta, aneta.org/debate2023. Aneta, which is an organization to expose 9/11 truth, which has been sponsoring debates for some time now. Well, in this instance, a debate was orchestrated between Michael Shermer and myself. Our background and credentials are very comparable. Shermer has a PhD in the history of science from Claremont. I have a PhD in the philosophy of science from Indiana. He has a Bachelor of Science from Pepperdine. I have a Bachelor of Arts from Princeton. He's a professor at Claremont University. Well, I'm a professor emeritus at the University of Minnesota. He's a founder or editor of Skeptic Magazine. I'm the founder and chairman of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He has 6,199 citations for a Hirsch Index of 29. I have 4,202 for a Hirsch Index of 34. Now, what that means is Michael Shermer has at least 29 articles that have at least 29 citations apiece, that I have at least 34 articles that have at least 34 citations apiece. And, of course, we both have Wikipedia entries where they have, you know, gutted mine and revised it in ways that are highly unflattering. But that's the nature of the beast. Wikipedia is an Israeli op. And even in relation to 9/11, when I tried to clarify obvious false statements they attribute to me, they won't let me do it. They will not let me correct. So go to Aneta, aneta.org/debate/2023. And you're going to get the exchange between me and Michael Shermer, because get this. Rick Shattuck, who proposed the debate, discovered Michael Shermer was being non-responsive. So he proposed taking an interview Michael Shermer had done on C-SPAN and giving the questions and answers Shermer had given in my commenting on them, and it actually worked out beautifully. And I got to tell you, I'm just floored, because the deeper I got into Shermer's views about 9/11, the more disillusioned I became. I want you to judge for yourself. But I formed opinions that are, in my, I think, very well-founded across a huge range of issues that were discussed, exchanged during our debate. Where, so far as I can tell, apart from a few trivialities, such as that the World Trade Center was destroyed on 9/11, I don't believe Michael Shermer made a single sound argument that both supported the conclusion and had true premises. In other words, count me disillusioned with Michael Shermer. Disillusioned, to put it mildly. So, pretty fascinating stuff. It's up there. It runs 1 hour and 41 minutes. You can find it on Vimeo. It's got an introduction with Kevin Barrett. Here's how it's described. 10th annual 9/11 debate between PhDs in science, Dr. Marco Shermer and Dr. James Fetzer, host Dr. Kevin Barrett, sponsor Rick Shattuck of Aneta.org. This debate was done asynchronously using Dr. Shermer's debate with C-SPAN callers. He's a founder of the Skeptics Society and other books such as Conspiracy, Why People Believe Weird Things, and The Believing Brain. His PhD is in the history of science from Claremont and bachelor's from Pepperdine. He has only over 6,000 citations on Google Scholar and the Hirsch Index at 29. Dr. James Fetzer is a founder of, here put Rick put 911scholars.org, but that's just a website, Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and the other many books. Hey, check it out. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend. Really, truly enjoy.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...